Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 7th. Joining us this morning from the city of Eureka. Well, you're hiding your phone now? It's okay. It can rumble. You know, if it rumbles on air, who cares? Brian Gerlinger. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
It's going to be easy for us to remember first names for the entire show. May sound redundant, but we're going to get it right this morning. Our quote, can't use that one. It had a four-letter word in it. It's a great quote, but can't use it. Here we go. This is an anonymous source, so it's kind of one of those that doesn't quite have full attribution. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. You heard that one before, huh?
I have heard that one relatively recently.
Really?
Yep. But I can't remember where.
Yeah, it wasn't here. I forgot to make them note that little thing in the book. Summertime. Calendar says it's here. We look outside. We see the fog. Okay, fine. Summertime's here.
That means it's summer. That's right.
What does it mean for public works for Eureka? You got funding things going on. You got, in theory, dry things going on. You've got a new fiscal year with possibly new rules, not just new money. What does July 1st mean for your department?
Yeah, it really is the start of the new year for public works for a lot of operations within the city because it's the start of the fiscal year. Funding starts over again, a new budget year. In the case of public works for our water and sewer customers, there's a new rate schedule in effect. So water and sewer rates are changing, and we have construction projects underway, construction projects out to bid right now, and scheduled to get started before too long here.
Just because we've talked so much with Dave Hull about water rates, and it was the joint study between the city and the Community Services District, what is it going to mean for folks in Eureka, whether they're residential or commercial or industrial?
So for residential customers, the change is not so big. The average residential customer actually in the short term, because of the way the water rates and sewer rates are being distributed among customer classes, the overall rate could go down for our average residential customers in the short term. And then over a five-year period, it would slowly go back up and end up being, at the end of that five-year period, about 25 to 30% higher than it is right now. So the average bill right now is about $80 a month, and it could go up to just under $110 at the end of 5 years. For our commercial customers, depending upon the type of customer, the change is more significant, and that has to do with a couple factors: the way the sewer rates are calculated, and then the way the water rates are calculated based on meter size, and a move to an industry standard multiplier for that means that commercial customers with larger meters in particular, and if they have a stronger sewer effluent, then that means they would be paying more of an increase than the residential customers.
40%, 50%, somewhere in that neighborhood?
Well, in the first year, it could be up to that amount. Over the five-year period, some of those customers will see an increase of about 120%. So it's significant. There's no doubt about it.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. The Bryans will be back.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brian Gerlinger, the other Brian here this morning. Public Works Director for the City of Eureka. You can put your phone on the counter here.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
But my name is Gerving. if Gervin, it matters.
What the heck? Where did I get the other one?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm the question guy here. Okay. Now I'll get it right, at least for the second half of the show. How's that? With the water is infrastructure. Certainly not a sexy topic for a lot of folks. Getting a little bit more attention now, but not sexy. Streets, however, are significantly more so. And I don't know if it's because we see it, because we feel it if it's not right, if whatever. How was Eureka's roads? I mean, I know what I would say, but from a technical perspective, it's a little bit different.
From a technical perspective, I could use some of the same words that you would probably use.
But with the same emotion, too?
Exactly.
All right.
We're just as frustrated with the condition of our roads. The unfortunate thing is that the funding just isn't there to maintain them or to upgrade them the way we would like or the way we feel is necessary. We have a little bit of a solution coming from the state in the form of SB1, the gas tax, which is not universally popular, that's for sure.
But you can't opt out of it.
We cannot opt out of it. No one can. And it will provide necessary funding for streets. It's not as much as we need, but it gets us a little bit of the ways there. In recent years, the city's had about $200,000 annually to put into project funding for streets, which is, nothing compared to the $2.8 million annually that was calculated to maintain our streets just in their current condition back in 2011. So SB1 will provide by next year about an additional $900,000 in project funding for us.
So it closes the gap.
It closes the gap, but it still doesn't get us there. And so we have to continue to look for ways to improve our funding stream. We always try to be as efficient as we can with that street funding. And that's why you see a lot of our projects lately have been these small grind and patch jobs with then a slurry seal over the top.
Like Booner?
Like Booner or like 6th and 7th Street. We've done some of that, Henderson. So we really try and get at the areas where we can spend some dollars, make the street decent, overlay it with that slurry seal, and it basically maintains it for the time being. It doesn't allow us to get at those streets that are in really poor condition. People think of Hawthorne Street, Highland. There are many,
the other
many
part
others.
Of Henderson.
The other part of Henderson, that's right. Many, many others that are just so far gone that they need a lot more work. And that work is so expensive that we can't even touch it with our existing funding.
Is it? Okay. So does it go to gravel?
Well, it doesn't. Our streets crew goes out and they patch potholes as best they can. But it's tough. You know, there's no doubt about the fact that our streets are continuing to degrade. Even with this increased funding from the new gas tax and registration fees, the condition will degrade more slowly, but it will continue to degrade over time. And so the city council is definitely considering the idea of a city-only quarter-cent sales tax dedicated to just street funding. And that's something they'll be continuing to explore.
That's a voter's.
It would be. It would be the city council putting it on the ballot for the voters to consider. It's similar to what the countywide measure last year, Measure U, that failed, that would have dedicated a half-cent sales tax.
Failed implies it had a chance. I don't think it got out of the gate.
It was definitely a difficult effort. It was late to get started. There wasn't a whole lot of lead time. And
kind of like a textbook on how not to do.
You may say that, yeah.
Well, there was confusion. There wasn't a lot of information that was out there. It was going up against a bunch of other taxes also at the same time. We're still in the recession. And just kind of the history of what's gone on.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a number of areas that it just didn't seem to get any traction at all.
Yeah, and I agree. And there were definitely some things that we learned from that effort, both in the education, putting it out earlier, in the way the ballot measure is worded and the uses that the money would go to, both in terms of the types of projects and how those projects are facilitated, whether it's hiring employees versus hiring contractors, hiring additional government employees isn't a particularly popular thing. And the city of Eureka wasn't proposing to do that with Measure U funds, and we wouldn't be proposing to do it with any subsequent local tax for roads.
Any other letter?
That's right. Yeah.
We can boil this thing down pretty quick here. The roads themselves, the streets, do we have too many of them? It's, you know, normally, if you look at you're spending X and you should be spending Y, adjustments are made. Now, I know ripping out roads probably isn't a viable option, but in general, do we have too many roads?
In the city of Eureka in particular, I don't see that we have any option. We really don't have any excess roads. We've got 120 miles of streets, roughly, and it keeps our crews busy maintaining them, that's for sure. But I think that all the residents that live on those streets would find them critically important.
It's discussion for the commercial break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with City of Eureka Public Works Director Brian Gerving. Talk Shop is presented this morning by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Brian, the concept of fiscal year versus calendar year, it's something I think most folks are familiar with in general terms. If you are on a fiscal year, it's a July 1 to June 30, okay, that's normal. That's the way the government, that's the way that their entity operates. When New Year's came around last Saturday for you, what's the difference between this side of the first and last week?
To be honest, there's not a big difference. You know, yes, the budget year starts over, but really, we operate continually. We're prepping at the end of the fiscal year for what's happening at the beginning, and we're documenting at the beginning of the fiscal year what happened at the end. So it's really no difference. It's a continual process.
Reports, reports, reports.
That's right. Exciting stuff.
Quick tangent question. How much does it cost the department for report generation? Not to the local electeds, but just to all the regulatory, the cost of regulation, because we hear about that when Dalby's in the bank stuff, we commiserate. I've got reports I have to take care of, you know, after the show. There's a cost, and I think it's one of those things that a lot of folks don't appreciate what the impact is. How much do you think it is for you guys?
That's a really good question. I can't even guess at a number. In many of our operations, we have reports that need to be submitted to various entities, the state, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and at the state, it's the State Water Resources Board, it's the Division of Drinking Water, it's the Housing and Community Development, all kinds of things. It would be really tough.
Related to funding or just reporting that you're playing by the rules?
Both. Primarily just that we're playing by the rules.
So what would happen? I know when we get the fountains in the middle of winter up through the manholes, it's what, $25,000 a pop?
No, it is not that much, and most of them are small enough that there isn't any. It's called a minimum mandatory penalty. Most of them are small enough that there isn't a minimum mandatory penalty associated with it. But yes, that's called a sanitary sewer overflow, or SSO, and that type of report needs to be submitted anytime we've got an overflow, and in the winter we keep busy with them.
So what if the tables were turned a little bit and we presume that you're operating safely, properly, within the bounds. But when we spot check and audit you, the fines are times 10 if you're out of compliance. Would a small jurisdiction like Eureka win in that scenario?
I think we definitely would. I think that would be true of most jurisdictions locally. And based on the diligence that most crews show, most public works departments show, I think that would be true statewide, because we're out there trying to do the right thing. And, you know, we are operating as effectively as we can. We get on things quickly. We reduce the impact that they're going to have to the greatest extent possible. And, yeah, I think that a lot of this reporting for the sake of reporting doesn't really serve us very well.
So let's say Papstein's rule hits. You got extra time, resources available. How would you use them? How would the community benefit from that?
There's never a lack for our crews to do, you know, maintenance on the water side out there, fixing leaks, looking at our infrastructure to see where the needs are. On the sewer side, we're continually out televising mains, clearing blockages, cleaning them. The more we can do that, the better we can avoid the types of problems like you were describing before with the overflows. Because, yes, those overflows occur in winter because we've got rainfall coming into the system. If we can get out ahead of it, look at where that flow is coming into the system, how we can divert it. Also, sometimes the overflow is because there's a blockage. And if we can better maintain, better clean those lines ahead of time, the overflow won't occur.
Well, now you got something you can run up the ladder.
That's right. We'll see how much
I'll bang the drum at this end. We'll see if we get any success on that, because it would seem to be not only for your department, but for any department. Why not do it that way? And then the bad apples get tagged, and you know, you heard of a couple small cities getting nailed with $10 million fines. All of a sudden, everybody's paying real close attention to what's going on, and you may do your internal auditing and checking, but you don't have to go through that whole morass to get there.
Very true.
All right. Yeah, maybe I ought to run for office someday. Maybe not. See how quick it just disappeared there? In and out. The funding, the contracts, the letting of contracts, all that stuff that tends to happen this time of the year, the digging, all that stuff that's going on, is it because of the weather or because of the fiscal year?
It's both. In this area of the state in particular, we're much more tied to the dry season than other areas are. But it depends upon the type of work. You know, if you're doing in-street work, depending upon the area and depending upon the soils, a little water isn't the end of the world. It's a nuisance, and you've got to deal with it. You've got to plan for it. But we also have to look at how busy our contractors are during the dry season and how that increases our costs if there just isn't enough. There aren't enough contractors to go around this time of year. That's what we run into. We have difficulty getting projects, getting enough bids on our projects. And so we're trying to look. We do. And so we're trying to look at options to distribute them more over the course of the year. We just issued an addendum on a project that we've got out to bid, basically giving contractors extra time to do the work, take it into the what we would normally consider to be the wet season.
So you're down into like November?
December, into the early part of December. But hopefully what that does is allows more contractors to bid the job. Even if a unit cost on dewatering goes up slightly, they're available, period. And if we only get one bid or two bids, we're not in as good a position as if we get four or five or six bids. It's just a better use of the public's money.
KINS News and Information Times 843. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brian Gerving. Final segment of the week. We made it.
Yay. Yes, that's right.
Oh, with some of the different pressures that are out there, Brian, how do you, let's stick to the streets for a sec, how do you stretch the dollar when you really don't have that many dollars to stretch? And guys like me on the outside of City Hall come knocking on the door and say, hey, here's my 58 potholes. Here's my da-da-da. I mean, how do you do that with the pressures that the community has?
We, like you said, we stretch the dollars as best we can. That starts with our crews doing a lot of the pothole filling. It's difficult to keep up with, particularly this year. You know, we had a very wet winter. It made a lot of potholes. We're still catching up with them. They continue to be a problem over the summer as they reappear after being patched. As I mentioned before, with doing slurry seal work over the top of a grind and patch job, that's a very cost-effective way of getting more square footage done per dollar than if you were doing an overlay or rehab, a reconstruction. But we definitely have to be out there explaining to our citizens why it is that the section of street in front of their house can't be fixed like we would like to fix it. Because it would take all of our annual funding, with present funding levels, all of our annual funding to do the one block in front of their house. And when we describe that, most people understand. They're still frustrated. We're frustrated too.
Is there a priority on the streets? Which streets? I'm thinking you got the main drags through town, HI 14, Booner, Harris. Okay. Where most of the traffic runs. Do they get a priority, or are they just streets like other streets?
They do get a priority. We've got levels of traffic and levels of priority with our streets. It goes from the surface streets to collectors and arterials. Arterials are the most important. They get the most attention.
We call them the main drag?
That's exactly
right.
Man.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you, sir.
See everybody on Monday.